Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
I'm excited as we're in week two of our series, Experiencing God. And last week was an amazing week as we're going through the booklet. If you have not gotten it, we're encouraging people to get it. We have a few left for sale. But before we dig into that, I wanted to share a verse for us to help us really set the scene to go, man, if we believe God is who he is and he says what he says and it's real, we believe that he's here and that we can ask for his help, that he loves us, that he wants to work in us through his word. And so this is what Psalms 86:5 says. It says, "O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help." Regardless of your week, what you have going on in your schedule, you know, it's the Super Bowl, right? It's coming up. We have all these different things going on. I want to ask you the question, when's the last time you asked God for help, right? I don't love asking for help. I tend to go, I need to do it, get it done myself, right? I don't love asking for help. But he's saying here, man, God is so ready to forgive. He is so ready to love. He's full of love, and he wants us to ask for help. And for us, as we're in this series, we're talking about experiencing God, that God is always working. Jesus said that my Father is always working, and so am I. And believing that he's always at work in the midst and behind the scenes, even when we don't see it or feel it. And we get to go, God, I need your help in my life. And for all of us, we need that. We all need help. We need his help. We need his love in our lives. And so as we dig into today, I hope that you can come to that spot to go, God, do a work in me through your word. I believe that your word is alive and it's active. And so I hope that God speaks to you. With that, a little bit of recap. Last week, we talked about God's work. We talked about how if you ask the wrong questions, you'll get the wrong answers. I love that quote, right? If we say, when we're talking about God's will within this series and experiencing him, if we ask the question, what is God's will for my life? Instead of asking the question, what is God's will? If we ask the wrong questions, we'll get the wrong answers. Because for us, God has revealed his will for us to love him, to love others, to be ambassadors. He has filled his word with his will. And we get to go, God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for doing what you've done. We want to submit our lives to you and morph our lives to your will, because your will has been revealed and it is evident that it is best for us. It's my will that gets me in the places that I get, which really propels me to come to Jesus in the first place, right? And so if you missed it, go back and watch it. It was powerful. Today we get to talk about relationship with God, that in our relationship with him, he is always at work. And I really wanted to ask this question. God wants to relate. Do you know that God wants relationship with you and that he has made a way for that to happen? What does the Bible say as we look at scripture? It's important for us to know where we're at with God outside of what he has done for us. Scripture reveals that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, that all of us have gone astray, all of us have gone our own way, and not in the sense of like, okay, I know I have some mistakes, but I'm not really a murderer, I don't really do drugs, I don't do those grosser sins. Yes, I need Jesus, but you know, the Bible reveals that we have all fallen short, that there is this chasm, this separation from God because of our sin, because of our disobedience. But the amazing news is that God sent his son and had a plan before time, before we committed our first sins, before he knew what we were going to do. He loved us, and he didn't just say it, he showed it. How many of us have had people say a lot of things in our life, but then they do something completely different? God did not just tell us, he showed us. This is what 1 John 4:9 says. It says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Man, God showed us his love. There's a lot of things I don't understand in life. Is anyone else with me there? There's a lot of things in my life, in circumstances, and all throughout this series, we're talking about experiencing God, looking to see where God is at work and joining him there. And sometimes God doesn't move the way I expect him to or think he should. And sometimes I don't understand all the things that he's doing or not doing. But the Bible reveals that God showed us his love, that he sent his one and only son to die in our place as this amazing display of God's love for us. And as I have to constantly choose each day in those areas of unknown to come to the table and go, God, I don't know why you're not doing this or why you are doing that, but you have shown me your love in your son. And regardless of those things I don't get right now, I know who you are and what you've done for me. And the Bible says, for those who are in Christ, that even while we were his enemies, he came for us. That those who are in Christ, he clothes in righteousness. That when he looks at us, he sees his son, Jesus. Think about how amazing that is, that God, the God of the universe, wants relationship with you and with me. And so now we kind of got through that amazing truth. Let's talk about, well, how do we define this relationship with him? And how does he actually work in the midst of it, right? Because we can cherry pick what we think it should be, but God has a design. He's the designer. If you're anything like me, when you get to that spot at the end of yourself, you go, my way is not the best way, right? My way is not the best way. In fact, it's my way that led me to the end of myself. And so I want to do what God defines in my life, because what he has established is what's best for me, even when it doesn't feel like it's what's best at times. And to go and talk about this, what does it look like if you're following in our notes? I love John 15 as we look at a relationship with God. This is what it says. It says John 15, 5 through 12. It says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Get this part. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. You know, as a kid growing up, this is one of those verses that used to scare me a little bit. And this is why it's so important. As we talk about our relationship with God, we have to hear the things of God in the perspective and having the eyes of God, right? That's why we need each other, believers, to help walk us through what it looks like to know the word of God, because Satan loves to use the word of God and twist it. And how he kind of twisted this verse in my life was, all I would latch onto is, oh man, if I don't perform right, God's gonna cut me off like a useless branch and throw me into the fire, right? And then it's like, oh, I better do it right, or God's just gonna disown me and throw me into the fire. And that's not what he is saying here. In fact, do you see what he says towards the end? He says, I'm telling you these things so that you'll be full of joy. God's invitation is he wants you to be full of joy in our relationship with him. And he talks about in here, is he goes, man, if you don't remain in me, you're not going to bear fruit. The tone in which I used to hear that as a kid is like a threat. You better remain in me or you're not going to bear nothing, right? But it's this invitation to go, man, I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love for you. And don't just hear my commands, obey my commands. Then it shows that you're my true disciples and that you're in my love as you live out these things and that you're going to produce fruit. Because what we often forget is God's the source of life itself. He spoke the world into existence. He is life. To be separated from him is just the opposite. It's death. And so when we do not remain in him, we are choosing to be plugged into death instead of plugged into life. And he's going, man, this relationship, this abidance, this learning my commands, which are life. And when you do those things, you produce this fruit in your life. And here, I love to say this, what we abide in is what we will produce. We were made and designed in a way. We all worship something. We all fill our lives with something, whether that's God and we choose to plug into life, or we choose to plug in everything else, which is death, right? Not that all the things that we fill our minds with are bad in themselves, but when the life source is not the top of the priority, we choose to abide in the things of the world as higher priority than God. And so for us, I want to ask you this. What are you plugged into? What are you abiding in? What do you fill your mind, your heart, your life with? You know, I look at Jesus and he had 12 disciples, right? And sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I could have been there to see Jesus like raise people from the dead and like tell off the Pharisees, be like, yeah, get like, right? All these cool things that Jesus did and experienced. And you know what's really interesting? Especially growing up, I used to go, man, if I could have just been there to see it myself, it would make faith so much easier. You ever think that? Like, man, if I was just there. But I find this fascinating. You know, one of his disciples who saw all the same things that the others did was Judas. Judas saw what the others saw. Raised people from the dead. He saw the miracles. He spent time with Jesus. He experienced God's love, but he didn't surrender his perspective. You see, we can fill our lives with the right things. We can even be in the right environments. We can take the right steps. We can even spend time with Jesus. But if we're unwilling to surrender our perspectives, then we're just walking and being a part of the right things, but not truly walking in abidance in a transformation relationship with Jesus. You know what's really cool though is that Jesus loved Judas. Jesus washed Judas's feet the same as the other 12 the night before he was betrayed by Judas. Jesus loved Judas to the end, and that's what I believe, that God gives us a chance to our last breath, even knowing our choices, to love us in hopes that we would see and respond and walk into a transforming relationship with him, even when he knows the people who will not choose him. Because our God wants relationship with us. I love this quote. If you've been following in the book from page 38 in this week from Experiencing God, it says, "Such depth and sincerity of love come only by spending time in close fellowship with Jesus. The way we express our love for Jesus depends on the kind of relationship that we have developed with him. Our love for him won't grow unless we spend time with him, listening to his voice and experience his love for us." Man, what kind of relationship are we developing? You know, I think for any one of us, we go through seasons of dryness, right? And sometimes our relationships, we choose to pick up our cross and there's some discipline involved. Right? There is some discipline, and I believe that is love, making a choice when we don't feel like it. Love is not always just this feeling, but at the same time, I can have all the information of God and not have a relationship with him. What does Paul say? How many of you have known someone who knows all the Bible things, but they don't seem like they love anybody, right? Maybe you've been that person at times, right? Paul says, you can know the tongue, all the things of the angels and have not love, you're nothing. You can be burned at the stake and sacrifice your life, but have not love, you're nothing. he goes down this list of like the top sacrificial things of God you can do, but if you have not love, you're nothing. I don't know if you've heard this analogy before, where you spend your life climbing a ladder to get to the top to realize at the end that you put your ladder on the wrong wall, right? I don't want to do that in my walk with God. God's invited me into something that's way more powerful than just doing the things I know I should do. If you're following us in our notes, that's what this next part is. It's not religious. The Pharisees knew all the things. Jesus said of the Pharisees, listen to what they say, but don't do as they do. Listen to this in John 5:39. It says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. Whew. That's like the worst thing I can think of to hear from Jesus. If I'm being honest, I think for any of us, I know for me, there's times where I drift into that. I know all the right things. I know how to model the right things, say the right things, even do the right things. But I believe God wants our heart, and he's given us his. He's given us his. And we can know all those things. And you could fool everybody, but he knows. And you know, this week as I processed this, I was like, man, whew, right? I don't always feel worthy to get up here and say these things. And that's what I love about God. I don't have to be perfect to get up and proclaim his word. I get to strive for it just as much as you guys, knowing that that's the truth. But there's a heaviness to go, man, before the Lord, where is my heart with him? And not just the things that I want to do, but the things he proclaims for me to do. I don't always feel like doing them. And sometimes it is love to know the things of God, not want to do them, and to choose to go, I'm going to do them out of obedience. And then as we do that, our hearts do start to change into his heart, but it isn't always just this easy thing to wake up and do. There's days where you have to choose to fight and surrender your heart to God and go, God, I need your help to do these things in my life. I love the other quote from page 36 from this week. Never become satisfied with religious activity rather than a personal, vibrant, growing relationship with Jesus. Never become satisfied with religious activity. God wants a personal, vibrant, growing relationship with you, not out of drudgery or obligation. He wants to know you. He loves you. He likes you. He made you. In the midst of your sin and our rebellion, he's given his son, and it says that it gave the father great pleasure to crush his son. How on earth does that make sense? But it's because the relationship he's wanted to have with you, even when we don't deserve it. You know, this next part you must accept. You know, there's this reality, if we're gonna abide in God and walk with him and sometimes pick up our cross and follow him when we don't want to, you know, and what does the world say? If your feelings don't say, then it's probably wrong. Just toss it and move on till your heart is content and you have that one true love, or you have that one job that just you always love getting up to, and all these things. It's so counter from what the Bible says. It says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it, right? We have our broken feelings. God gave us feelings. They're good. They're in his design. But so often, because of the fall, we have to bring our feelings and our thoughts before God and test them with the word. And as we do this, there's things that we have to understand about God's love. If we don't understand that God loves us, then when he allows things in our life that we don't understand, we won't understand that it's out of love and that he is always working, that he's working good from bad, that he has our best interests at heart. And if we don't understand his love, then we will have a hard time relying and seeing that in those areas of our lives. Listen to this in 1 John 4:16. It says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. I want to ask you in the room and those of you watching us online, when's the last time you could say, I know how God loves me and I rely and put my trust in his love? And if that is not true of you in this season, that's okay. We all get to those places. But that is the invitation. You know, there's things I don't understand. There's ways that he allows things. There's times where he doesn't do things or does things that I don't understand. But here in 1 John, which if you look at the disciples' life, they were often hunted, persecuted, betrayed by their own people. And they had to go, man, I know how much God loves me and I put my trust in his love. Regardless of my circumstances, I know who he is. I've seen what he's done. And they held on to the end. They gave their lives for the gospel. It can be hard. It can be challenging. It can be difficult. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why God's love could fail to penetrate our hearts. Maybe for you, it's you think you're such a wretch that there's no way God could love someone like you after what you continue to do. Maybe you understand that, you know, God's forgiven your past, but your current everyday battle with sin makes you go, I don't see how God can continue to love and work. And it's really a disguised form of pride because you're saying I should be better than this. And so therefore I won't let you pay for me. I won't let you love me. Or maybe you're over here and you think, you know, you have mistakes, but you're a pretty good person and you don't understand how much you actually need Jesus, that every one of us is a beggar just showing the other beggars where the bread is that you got yourself, that all of us fallen short and every one of us is at an equal playing field of not being connected to God because God requires perfection. And we don't experience the depths of God's love because we don't see the depths of our brokenness. And when you don't see the depths of your brokenness, you can't see how deep God's love goes beyond your brokenness. And so in one sense, you might need to go, man, God, I'm going to let you love me. Or to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God so that God can exalt you, as it says. And listen to another quote from this week on page 43 of Experiencing God. It says, if you can't accept the truth that God loves you, you will be limited in the way you can relate to him. When he disciplines you, you won't take it as an expression of his love. Rather, you may resent him. When God says no to a request that's less than his best for you, you'll conclude that he doesn't care about you. Without a clear understanding and acceptance of God's love for you, you will be disprinted to him and to what he wants to do in your life. Whew. Nowhere in the Bible does God say he's going to take away all your pain here and now. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're not going to go through deep waters. Or when you walk through the flames. He never says you're not gonna have flames. But he does say he'll be with you in them. That our hope is found not here and now. There is hope here and now. God does miraculous things here and now. Every good thing we have is a direct gift from him, as it says in James. There is reason to rejoice here and now, but our main hope is found in what God has what God has gotten for us in heaven. what God has established for us in heaven and our forgiveness of sin. That someday there'll be no more tears and no more pain, but we have victory in him. Which leads me to my last point, if you're following along, when life gets hard. How do you weigh the goodness of God when life gets hard? How do you, in your relationship with God, as we're talking about relationship and we're talking about God's always working, how do I manage that in my relationship with God when it seems like he won't respond? Seems like lots of circumstances have gone wrong. Seems like he's not there. You feel distant. How do you weigh that? And I'll just be honest. There's a lot of times in my life where I have to wrestle through that myself. There's a lot of times I'm sitting with people who just went through tragedy. And I have to go, I don't know why. But what I do know is that God loves you. And even though I don't understand, I know he gave his son for you. And someday it's gonna make sense. But I do believe, even when circumstances don't change in our relationship with God, the Bible is filled with a direction for us, a design. And in here, we're gonna read Psalm 77, and it's a longer read, so make sure you get this because it's so powerful. And I want you to see if you can identify what verse happens. There's a shift that happens because this guy brings all of himself into his relationship with God. He lays it all at the feet of his God, and I want you to see the things that he says in here. This is Psalm 77:1. It says, I cry out to God. Yes, I shout, oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted towards heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moaned, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days long since ended when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I searched my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. But then I recall you, all that you have done. Oh Lord, I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I can't stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. Whew, man, I'm like, how did that make it in the Bible? That first half. God, you are not good. God, you won't let me sleep. Don't we say all the time, go to God? Well, he says, I went to God for days and I was not comforted. I did all the things that I'm supposed to do. Whew, how'd that get in there? How'd that make it in the Bible? But here's what I love about God. Our God is the God of the broken. Is because these things that are in the Bible, does that mean these statements are true? No. Doesn't it say God never leaves us nor forsakes us? Yes. Doesn't it say that God goes before us? Doesn't it say all these truths that God's promises never fail and he says his promises have failed me? No, what I see here is not a judgment of him and going, oh, I can't believe he did that. He must have faith. No, it's actually a gauge to go, man, that guy's got a deep relationship with God. Why is that? Because God already knows your doubts and your struggles and your depths of fears. This guy just brought it to him. And you notice that nothing in his circumstances changed, not one thing. Other than he stepped into a deep, transparent relationship with his father. And then then something shifted. Did you see it? Verse 11. But God, you are so good. Why was God good? You don't see in the writing that he changed his circumstances. Maybe there's some of you in here, God has not changed your circumstances. Maybe you can go, I have prayed night and day and my soul has not been comforted. Guess what? It's in the Bible too. God sees it. He knows it. But the hope is in your relationship with him. Bring it to him. That doesn't mean the circumstances won't change. Or sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But you get to bring it to your God. And then step back and go, God, what you have shown me is your love for me. Who you are is good. God, you sent your son. My hope is in you. And as the ushers get ready to transition, as I have only a few more things to say, I want to ask you this. When is the last time, if ever, and just because we're transitioning, don't miss out on this part. Zone in with me here. We're almost there. I want to ask you this. When's the last time, if ever, you brought it all to God? If you're anything like me, I often go, I got to fix this stuff before I go to him. Because he'll be disappointed in me. Or he'll even be mad at me. A real Christian doesn't think these kinds of things, right? As the ushers pass this out, you know, I'm a father of three, and my daughter, I love all my kids equally, but they're all different, and I have a different relationship with each of them, and my daughter is four, and she is just so amazing and so cute, and I, as a father, desire for my kids to come to me with whatever it is in their life, whether it's good, bad, whether it's they made a mistake, I want them to know that when they fail, that the first person they want to go to is me. Because I want to walk with them. I want to love them. You know, there's one day a while back, Lily, you know, she is ornery, and my wife's not in here right now, just like her mom, right? I guess me too. And her hands were crossed and she just looked mad. And I'm like, hey, are you okay? And she's like, I'm fine. All right. Are you sure? Yes. And I was like, did I do something wrong? No. And I could visibly see she was upset. Right. And I have those conversations with my kids to go, man, I don't care if it's you're mad at me. I don't care if you made a mistake. I want you to bring it to me. And our Father does too. I want to ask you these last questions. Do you see that God wants relationship with you and he has made a way for you? He wants relationship. And whether you're a believer or not, maybe you've been a believer and you've drifted, God wants relationship with you. Step back into it. I want to ask you and really restate this. What we abide in is what we produce. What are you abiding in? What are you filling your life with, your hearts with, your minds with? And not just information, but coming before God to go, God, change my heart. Change my heart so that I want to hear from you and spend time with you. Not only with him, but with his people, being connected, serving. We talk about these things not to sell you something or take something from you or trick you into giving us your time. It is God's plan for your life. He wants the abundant life for you. And that abundance comes by loving and being relationship with him and loving and being relationship with his people. What does it look like to take one step further into a deeper relationship with him and with his people? And lastly, if you do not know Jesus, if you're watching us online or in this room, if you don't know Jesus, don't wait. I spent a long time in drugs and alcohol, and I was raised in the church and went, you know, someday I might come back to Jesus. Don't wait. Today is the day. It says God's waiting for none to perish, and sometimes we can go, I have time, but God wants your relationship with you to be now. He's knocking now. And if you're a believer in here and you've already given your life to Jesus, it's time to get off the sidelines and walk into God's design for you. I know God is working all around the world, but he's working here at this campus, at this church. He's moving us in a direction. There's people in our community that need to know Jesus, that need to know his name, of his love, and have relationship with him. And I believe we as a church and as a body have a mission to fulfill, to help people, invite people, to get people in the game, to raise people up, and to help reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.